Blog Talk Praise Radio. God.
Praise God. Praise God.
All right, you're here.
Hi, good evening, Apostle Armstrong. Praise God.
Good evening to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening, and welcome to Crown Drums Talk Radio. I am your host tonight, Evangelist Renee M. Strong. Evangelist Strong or Renee is fine. Amen. And at this time, I am going to ask Apostle Armstrong, would you lead us in prayer? Hello?
Hello, I'm Praise here. God. I had muted my phone because I turned everything over to you. Okay. All right. Almighty everlasting God, who created the heavens and the earth, we come to you this evening as one of your chosen person that was called out from among the mass and chosen for the time as this. And this night we will be having a discussion on faith, and hopefully the hearers and will hear something that will cause them to have a leap of faith. And those who are listening around the earth, those who are in difficult situations and circumstances, we trust that you will begin to see how faith in the Creator will protect you and provide for you. In the Messiah's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Again, I want to welcome everyone to this faith blog. As I go into this discussion, this being the first night, I ask you all to pray for me. This being the first night, I am going to briefly read a scripture. And then I'm going to go into a little discussion. And at that time, I'll ask a couple of questions. And I will ask that someone participate and answer the questions. Amen? So at this time, I'm going to read into your hearing from the from 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting at the first verse, and I'll let you know when I stop. Amen. And so as the word is blessed, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take me out of self, God. Father, use me to your glory, O God. Oh, Father God, let someone receive the revelation and the word, God, as you give it, not as I give it, O God, but as you give it, in the name of Jesus. And the word of God is blessed. Amen. So, starting at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was... The name of the firstborn, excuse me, the name of the firstborn is Joel. and the name of his second Abda. They were judges in Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in his way. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and prevented justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said this, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." And I'm going to end it right there. Excuse me? And at this time, what I am going to, the word that the Spirit has given me to project here, in retrospect to the nations during biblical times, the prophets and the apostles, the men and the women of God, gave the same message regarding faith, hope, which is based on the promises of God, identifying Jesus as the cornerstone of the foundation which was laid. As it was then, it is no different now. Everyone, we all, as sheep of the pasture, have gone to and fro. We are going to and fro. Everyone is turning to their own ways. We are doing our own thing. Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 1, 24 to 29, the Apostle Paul he's speaking to a Gentile nation. A nation of a people, a Gentile people, people who are unbelieving. He is appealing to a people of both actually believers, which at that time we define as the Jews, and the Gentile believer, which we define as non-Jews. He says, a mystery which was hidden in the time past has now been revealed by the Spirit of Christ, which is God. For the word says God is spirit. Not God is a spirit. God is spirit. So the former mystery that he unfolded through his words is now understood. It is Christ Jesus indwelling in us. The Spirit of Christ. This which gives us hope. It gives us hope for a future, our future glory, our future eternal glory. Father God, help Lord Jesus. So then, many people in the world place, we find many people in the world placing hope. Whoever's in the background, if you would just put your phone on mute. Please put your phone on mute. In the name of Jesus, I wish if you would just put your phone on mute. But we are going to go on in the name of Jesus. Many people we find in the world place their hope in national leaders to restore the world to its patriotic glory. In other words, we are looking to, in other words, we look to our president. We look to our community leaders. We look to civil rights leaders. We put our hope, we look to man, and we put our hope, our faith in man. But it is God who we need to place our faith in. For he is the only hope. He is the only one that we can place our faith in for hope of eternal glory, of future happiness, of future peace, of future fulfillment of joy. When we look at second, I'm going to pause for a minute. I don't know who, you may not realize it, but please put your phone on mute, I pray. When we look at 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4, chapter 4, 1 through 4, it tells us, therefore, since we have this ministry, just as we receive mercy from God, granting us salvation, opportunities, and blessings, we do not get discouraged nor lose our motivation. Now, this message is not just for believers, but for unbelievers too. This message is for everyone. And it goes on to tell us that, but we have renounced the disgraceful, hidden things like sin, lies, pride, and deceit. Because of shame, not walking in trickery or by twisting the word of God to benefit our own ways of thinking, not by providing people who live by tradition rather than faith in God. Mark 7 and 13 lets us know that the tradition makes the word of God to no effect. So what am I saying? I am saying that we cannot continue. I speak to both believers in the faith, and I speak to non-believers in the faith as well. We can no longer make God's word fit into our lives because it will not be effective. It will not be effective. So what the Apostle Paul is basically saying is what God told the prophet of old, Habakkuk. He says, now I am speaking to us as believers. He told the prophet of the old Habakkuk, write my answer, my solution, make it plainly so that the one who carries it, the one who runs by, the one who happens to see the child of God and says, it's something about that child of God that brings me joy. There's something about that child of God who lights, when they walk in the room, they just light up the whole scene. They just light up the whole room. He said, he's saying, make the truth clear so that the truth is not hidden, but is revealed openly. In doing so, we then appeal to the conscience and the heart of all God's people. We can no longer, as people of God, we can no longer just go about quoting scriptures only. We have to not only quote scripture, but we have to follow through. It's all right to leave, open your church doors and invite people in and speak the word of God and make a call for all to call. Some youth, when I was coming up, we called it fire and brimstone preaching. And basically what that means is you would go to church and the preacher would preach and he would say, if you don't stop lying, in other words, if you don't stop sinning, you're going straight to hell. We can't use, I don't see us using that appeal to reach the people. People out here are looking for hope. They are looking to man for hope. They are wandering around hopeless. They are looking into material things for hope. But it's one thing to have hope, but you've got to have faith. Faith comes before hope. If you have nothing concrete, Jesus, they are looking for a visible sign. They are looking for something tangible to hold. Now, the Word of God in Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We cannot see Christ physically, but we feel him. We feel the word, the indwelling of the Spirit. We see his light, his illuminating light that shines in darkness. The word of God says the darkness cannot comprehend light. We live in a world that is blinded by darkness. This is because Satan has made himself the god of this world. He's blinded the minds of the unbelievers in his attempt to prevent the truth from coming forth in the world, blinded by darkness. But we who know the word of God, that is why we have to not just lead people to the altar and say, do you believe in Christ? If you believe that Christ died on the cross and he died for our sins, you are saved. It's more to that. Salvation is more to that. And so I am saying this gospel is not just for believers. It's not just for Christians. This gospel is for everyone. Acts 10:11-18. We see that Jesus, when he walked the earth, he offered life. He offered people hope. He was right in the midst of people. He went into the what we call the trenches, the community, if we would say today the bar, the places where people, where Christians would say they are not at. He was a people person. And so we have to find a way to go to the people. And the Isaiah 43:18-10. Chapter 10, 18 and 9, I believe. It speaks of God doing a new thing. He says, in other words, can't you see it? We have just gone through a major pandemic. People stayed at home for 2 years, stayed at home. They are online. If not now, that we should not return to church. But God is getting his message as he proclaimed to spread the gospel throughout the nation. He's saying, go beyond just the churches. Go beyond. Go to the people. We are finding that we are communicating to people not just through radio. We are communicating to people online. We are communicating the word of God. It is imperative that we give the people not only hope, but show them how to gain faith, how to depend on God totally, completely. And that's what faith is. Faith is putting your total trust in Jesus, in his work, in his saving grace, in his work on the cross, dying on the cross for our sins, for our salvation, for our eternal hope in glory. And so now I just want to take a moment I know this may have been a little confusion, but I just want to take a moment and ask you a couple of questions. We are faced with difficulties, problems, poverty throughout the world, disasters, natural and unnatural, sickness and disease, hardship, devastation, violence, abuse, racism, injustice. My question is the same today as it was during biblical times. Where do we turn for solutions? And to whom or what do we appeal in these times, in today's times, with present day situations and circumstances? And at this time, I'm just going to open up the forum for anyone comment.
Good evening. Amen. Praise the Lord for your word. Can you hear me okay? Good evening.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes.
I was set off by the scripture that you read in Samuel about how the Lord denied Saul, King Saul, and put David, who was even a child at the time, as king. And it really inspired me what you were saying about us as Christians and how we need to do this and that, and that's also reflecting back to Samuel, back to Saul, and back to David. A lot of times, God has not called us. He may give you a word. He may give you a prophetic word, but that does not mean that you're a prophet. David won the wars. I mean, Saul won wars, but David won more wars. And Saul thought because that he had won, killed 1,000, but what about when David killed 10,000? And he became jealous of that. And that's how we do as men and women of God. Instead of pushing each other up, lifting one another up, praying for what we pray against. I had someone call me this week, and they were saying how they were a little nervous, and they got business. And that's how we have to be. We don't allow strongholds to keep us from doing what thus saith the Lord. Everyone that is good to you is not always good for you, just as everyone that is good for you is not always good to you. You have saints that are out here, saved folk, Christians, whatever. Those people, they are not for you at all. They are not praying for. They're hating the fact that you have this, that, or the other. You may have less, but they don't. They're going by what they can see with their eyes or what they're hearing. See what I'm saying? And we gotta be. We have to be so careful when we're dealing not to give out all of God's business. And a lot of times we make the mistake and we do that. Oh, I love them. I'm going to know. Some things are left better unsaid. Mm-hmm. My grandmother and my mom, any dog that'll bring a bone will take a bone. And any dog that'll take a bone will bring a bone. And we got to be also ready. And when God gives you an opportunity and open up the door for you to do something, sometimes you can't take everyone with you. Sometimes you can't take mama, sister, brother, cousin, whoever, my bestie, all that, my BFF, my juju, my woman, Shanika, Contiki. Sometimes you got to leave them there at the door. Sometimes you got to let them go on through and you stay at the door. Because what God has for you is for you. What God had for David, it was for David. Saul wasn't even, I don't think he was convinced when David killed Goliath, because he was a child. Like, oh, you know, he got lucky, he got blessed, whatever. But the favor of God rests upon David's life, just as with us. When the favor of God rests upon our life, there is no telling where we're going to go. We're going to meet great men and women in the Lord, but we have to be also ready. You have to be mature in Christ. You can't keep sucking on the milk. Sometimes to nibble off that bone. Remember when we were growing up in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and it was something about that bone marrow. It wasn't sweet. It was just good from the juice of the chicken or the ribs or whatever it was we might have eaten, or the pork chop, to the point that we could eat the marrow. Do y'all remember that? I don't know. I know I have. I wasn't poor like that, but I just like the marrow.
Okay.
I like the I could take a sweet potato, and this is a funny thing, and I could put salt in, and that bad boy was good. Or it would be so sweet, I didn't have to put salt or sugar on it. I'm talking about a raw sweet potato. That's
yeah,
how God
yeah.
wants us to be. He wants us to be raw, willing, ready, and able.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
weak mind, we are knee, we are, what is it, knee high to a grass, we always oh, well, I can't do this. And, oh, I'm this. You got to be strong-willed in the Lord. You better think
mm-hmm.
about when you were in the world and the thing you were doing. I never forget a young lady who was a stripper, and I was talking to her recently,
mm-hmm.
a young lady in her 30s, and she was talking about, oh, I just don't feel, you know. I said, honey, you got on a pole and strip you in front of all men and women,
mm-hmm.
people had never seen before, and you had
okay.
no problem. But when it came down to the nitty-gritty of what you needed to do,
mm-hmm.
to be nervous, I don't think so. And they began to think about it. She was like, oh, you're right. I said, I know
mm-hmm.
I'm right about it. I said, because if you took all your clothes off and made lots of money, she used to bring in from $2,000 to
$5,000
a week.
Oh, my Lord.
She was confident on going back doing it again. I said, no, babe, you can't do that. You got a baby. And you don't want your child coming up with that embarrassment. Now, you barely,
no.
I said, stay up out of that mess. I said, because it's
Amen.
Not like it was doing it. I said, things have gotten worse. I said, some women and men, they're not making it home.
Amen.
I said, there's something haunted on social media. You know what I'm saying? That's why we
yeah.
have to be strong in God. And he said, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. So those things, help your sisters and brothers. Don't taunt them or, well, she ain't got this or he doesn't have this or they don't have the education. They have the anointing, the unadulterated anointing. I call it the fullified anointing.
Amen, amen.
But God said, and keep it moving.
Bless you, my sister, bless you. But now, what I also what I'm saying is, what do we tell the person? For example, we've seen our youth. We see people walking around right now
mm-hmm.
today
mm-hmm.
in poverty. People
mm-hmm.
who are sick. People
mm-hmm.
who lack, period.
Yeah.
And we tell them, how does it sound when we tell them, have faith in God. Put
mm-hmm.
your trust, honey, in God. Have
mm-hmm.
faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray with them.
Right.
But do we follow through? We
of course
we
do.
We quote the scriptures.
Yes.
But do we follow through with getting, helping them attain a solution? This is what I'm asking. How do we do that? How do we not just tell them to have faith, but help them, teach them to have faith? Anyone?
You know what I'm saying? The old saying is, what is it? Give the man a fish and it'll last. And I'm not quoting exactly right, but if you show him how to fish, he'll know how to get his own. And then you know the scripture also says about, you know, the poor. For the poor you'll have with you always. He said, but me, Jesus himself, he said, but you will not have me always. And he was talking to his disciples. I believe it was in John. Oh, Lord. 12:8, for the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always.
Okay, okay. Anyone else? Apostle. Anyone else?
Hello?
Hi, yes.
This is Sharon Phillips. This is Sharon Phillips. Blessings to each and every one of you all. Special blessings to Evangeline. When it comes to helping those that are in desperate need, yes, we have the concern, we have the heart, we're passionate for them. Yes, we do pray for them, and there is power in prayer. And we must encourage them to understand that there is someone greater that knows all about them. But on our behalf, as children of God, as disciples of Christ, we must be about an extra effort in these times and these days.
Yes.
We must search out locations, places that provide food, pantries, homeless locations. An example, here in Georgia, Hosea Feeds the Hungry. We must have a contact person with these various organizations that when we come in contact with such people, that we have a reference book that we can call on certain people to take it a step further than we can ourselves, other than the prayer and the counseling or whatever we may be led to do. We need to establish additional contacts within our city so we can have someone to call to take it another step further. That's my comment. That's my answer. Additional contact.
And also we have to be careful, as the Bible says, we have to be careful for nothing, that we're not used and abused to the point that we become tired and become encapsulated, not even wanting to do it anymore because of the issues. Because our city councilmen, because our president and those in Congress are not willing to put aside programs. And then the biggest issue that we've noticed lately, is, even in reference to the killings, is the mental state, that person's mindset. Because you can only help them for so long. They have to want to be independent enough to help themselves. But as long as they can lean on you, lag on you, they're going to do what they have to do. You have some families out here who are really desperate in need, mothers and fathers who had good jobs but were put out because the rent went up, because they couldn't make the car payment or the lights were put out, utilities may have been mishandled for some reason. So do you take it upon yourself every time? There was a couple had a light bill for $1,500, and because they didn't listen to anyone, they agreed to pay the power company. And I'm saying to myself, well, what if the light bill is $1,500 the next month? That was the fault of the power company. But some people you just can't help. Some people you just can't tell because, you know, I'm grown, I've arrived, and I've noticed it a lot in young folks. I got this. I got a handle on this. I'm going to do me. I got my family. But you don't even know how to spell family, don't even know what the meaning of a family is, because you didn't do the way God ordained for you to do it. And a lot of times we walked out of the will of God, and hardship has come upon us. And then we're like, okay, God, where you at? I need you. Now I want to be saved. Now I want this to see. You got to also understand that God has not forgot our past sins. When you go through a lot of trials and tribulations, persecution, remember the thing that your past has a way of catching up with you. A lot of times it will lay dormant to the very perfect timing, per se. And when it lays dormant and it comes back to bite you, you can't handle it. But when it was going on, you did. When you were driving that Maserati and that Bentley, while I was driving my Volkswagen, you know, everything was lottie-dottie, everybody, when you were keeping up with the Joneses as far as the Birkin bags and the Gucci's and the Louis, everything was okay. But when you had to start and leave Macy's and leave Saks Fifth Avenue, had to go to Walmart and Kmart and, you know, the little stores, Roses and things, that wasn't to be. And a lot of times I was telling a young lady, you're living above your means. She said, no, I'm living within. I said, how could you be living within your means if you had to move from a two-bedroom apartment with your daughter and now you're in a one-bedroom apartment?
Or but even a hotel. Care.
Mm-hmm. And she's in an apartment, but you made sure the nails were done and the hair was done and the daughter had the best of the best. But you wasn't frugal with money. Make sure you had your little wine every day. And I'm looking like, this is not, And what I wanted to tell the mother was, you keep enabling her. I said, and as long as you enable her, she's going to do it. And the lady just said last week, I said, not so. Anytime she need money from Cash App for that child, she said, I'm going to get it. I'm going to do it myself. And if I have to take it to her, I will. But we have enabled so many. We were just discussing this. Our homeless shelter burnt down. It's been over 5 years. They won't even build another one. So apparently it was, what, an interruption for them? Or either the people died? People are more selfish and self-centered now, especially us Christians. You know I got mine, Brother Joe. I ain't got time to take Sister Sally home. I remember when my car wouldn't work, I was a hindrance to the body of Christ. The deacon hated taking me home, me and my children. And my children, even though they were little, they knew. We would go out of town to church, and he would pray for the other lady and her children's food, and knowing that me and my kids, and I worked every day, had a hard life, had a husband and all. And I did the best I could, paid my tithes and offerings. And I said, Lord, what is really going on?
Mm-hmm.
And when he died a couple of months ago, the first thing my son said, now this is a pressure that he left on my child. He was so mean to us. I was like, wow.
I have personally experienced working with a young lady like that personally, face to face. Actually, she has lived with us for a time. And you talk to an individual and you try to share the word of God and you make wise suggestions and you listen and you see what they decide to do. And after a while, it was shown to me, just the spirit of discernment, this young lady is her own worst enemy. And at that time, you have to cut it off. The Lord will lead you to continue to help an individual. The Lord will lead you to stop, cut it off, let it go. You've done everything that you could possibly do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You will not have you be ignorant. And a lot of us, well, I'm just to help them. I just, you know, their need, and especially family. Those that are alcoholics or have these, and nothing wrong. Well, it is wrong to have children out of wedlock, but at the same time, having the babies out of wedlock and wanting you to take care of, wanting you to buy the family.
Mm-hmm.
Want you to, you had that baby.
Amen. Yeah.
And lean not to our own understanding.
Yes. You're right. That's our human instinct to do because, you know, let's face it, what is that they say? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink.
Can't make him drink. And as long as they're going to use it.
But I just want to leave this one thought. God is our Father. He's a parent to us all. Jesus even with what he endured, with what leaving his home in glory, coming down, taking on, putting on a sinful, walking among sinful people, humble, obedient, a servant. He didn't give up. He, even although as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, Lord, if it's possible, you take this bitter cup from me. Although he knew what he was going through, he knew what the outcome would be. He knew what he had to endure. He never gave up. He didn't give up. And he didn't stop. He spoke to Christians and non, well, at that time, there were Christianity had not come about. But he spoke to believers and non-believers alike. He endured to the end. Paul says, I'm going to leave the scripture with you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 19, verse 19 to 23. He says in the, I'm going to read out the New King James Version. Praise God, praise God. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. He says, yes, God help me find that scripture. He says, and to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win you. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Verse 21, he says, I'm taking time because I'm scrolling through here. Bear with me. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. Verse 22, he goes on to say, to the weak, hallelujah, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23, he says, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. In other words, what I'm saying is we, even as prophets, as bishops, as evangelists, as preachers, as teachers of the word of God, it is up to all of us. We are all servants, regardless of the title, regardless of how much strength we have or how weak we are. We don't give up. We are partakers of the gospel.
It is our duty as believers to do whatever we have to do to become whatever we have to become in that environment. It doesn't mean we have to take on a sinful life, but we have to put ourselves, come down, put ourselves in other people's place for the gospel's sake. It's not, you can have hope. People can have hope all day, but if they lack faith, faith leads to hope. Hope is fulfilled only through Jesus Christ. And so with that, I am going to ask someone to lead us, to close us out in prayer. Or I'm going to ask Apostle Armstrong, I would like to ask, do you have any comments?
Amen.
Apostle Armstrong?
Yeah, no comments. I just thank the Creator for sending you, putting you in the path, and we know that that blessing will flow as a result of people who are listening to your program because it's interactive, and I just thank God for you.
I thank you, bless you, thank you, and I'm going to ask at this time, someone, would you lead us out, would close us out in prayer? It could be Evangelist Crouch or Minister Sharon. All right.
Yield the floor to Minister Sharon. Minister Sharon?
Evangelist,
still there? Okay, Father, we
thank you.
Father God, we thank you. Lord knows that you are God. We thank you, God, for another day's journey. We ask for forgiveness in all things. We thank you for a perfect evening, God, an evening of us gathering together just to talk about the goodness of the Lord and to talk about things that are going on in the world. We thank you for this woman of God and her braveness and her being a true soldier, God. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. We thank you for Apostle Willie Armstrong, God. We thank you, Lord, for life, hallelujah, that we might have eternal life, God. We thank you for our children and our children's children. We thank you for what it is that you're doing on the inside that will resonate on the outside. We thank you for our four-legged beasts. We thank you for the birds, the flowers. We thank you, God, because this is the day that you have made. This is a good thing. And we will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. We thank you that we are still here. Hallelujah. We're not consumed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the haters, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. We thank you for the Gentiles and the Greeks. We thank you, Lord, for the Romans. But, God, we thank you especially for your son, Jesus. For it is because of his mercy and his grace, God, that we're still here. We thank you that he left us with power and authority. We thank you that he left us here, glory to God, for the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you because you are good to us, even when we are not good to ourselves. Look on those who are on drugs. Look on those who are homeless and destitute. God, look on the prostitute. God, look on the homosexual. God, look on the nation as a whole. All that we've endured and suffered these past 2 years, we ain't seen nothing yet, God. Continue to bless, keep us, God, as the apple of your eye, under the shadow of your almighty wing, for you are God. Don't let us be like King Saul. As he was with David, but help us to remember to be humble and contrite in all of our ways, and we will understand better by and by. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you again for the men and women of God who are listening, God, to these these blog talks and to these global coalition prayers, God, to the noonday prayer, God, for the strong prayers. We thank you, Lord, because you are still God, and you are first and foremost in our lives, our heart, our mind, and our soul. God, allow the Holy Ghost to check us before we wreck us. In Jesus' name we pray for this issue. We thank you. Hour of power, God, this hour of us being educated and learning more about your word, your will, and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. You know,
ooh, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to thank everyone for joining in. And the word of God just gets better and better. You know, as I was, when you were, Evangelist Crouch, when you were talking about Saul, King Saul, cutting off the head of the giant.
Uh-huh.
He slew the giant. He cut David. His head off. David, excuse me, I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. David, he slew the giant. He was a giant slayer. He didn't just slay the giant, but he cut his head off, and he marched around the city carrying the head of King Saul.
Thank you, Lord.
This is how you get ahead in life. This is how we don't just do, the word of God just doesn't come out of our mouth, but we have to put action behind it.
Amen.
So, as I leave you, I thank you all for joining. God bless you. Have a good evening. Be safe. May the Lord bless you and his angels camp about all of you. In the name of Jesus, I pray to be with you next Monday, God willing. Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Shalom.